Bong Bong. 28th of September at the Jepps Cross Cooper's Ale House. The SA Comedy Roadshow are right here, close to home. Jepps Cross, Cooper's Ale House, 28th of September. So go to claymcmathcomedy.com for tickets. Also, going back to Kangaroo Island on the 9th of December. So go ahead and get your tickets for that at claymcmathcomedy.com. Welcome to the Potties, brought to you by Bung Bung Coffee, the best dark roast coffee you can get. It will put some kick in your stick. It'll put some fuel in your mule. If you want to get fired up, get to bungbungcoffee.com. Enter promo code Potty, that's P-O-D-D-Y, for 15% off orders. That's Bung Bung Coffee, B-U-N-G, coffee.com. Enter promo code Potty for 15% off all orders. Let's start the show.
Welcome to the party. Best show on the internet, ask anybody. You know it's easy money. Sit back, relax, get your headphones, everybody. Welcome to the party. Blackout in the booth, every episode's a party. We go hard like Ricky Bobby. Tell a friend to tell a friend. This is Welcome to the Party.
Welcome to the party, Bung Bung. It's your man Claytron, aka the big boss man, aka the clumsy jeweler, because I'm always dropping gems, aka the milkman. Because always deliver, aka the PhD of podcasting, the magnum PI of podcasting, the captain, the bathhouse Barry of podcasting, because I pack each episode like Big Mike.
Nah, not following. What's all that from?
You haven't heard about bathhouse Barry?
Nah, dude. Who's that?
And Big Mike?
Should I Google it, or is that going to mess up the algorithm?
It is big on the streets of Twitter right now. X.
Okay, no, I haven't. I'm saying, fill me in.
So, Bathhouse Barry is Barack Obama.
Oh, yeah, okay. I'm saying some of this shit.
Yeah. So, they're claiming that Michelle Obama, they're calling her Michael, Big Mike.
Okay.
They're saying that she, you know, there's evidence, anecdotal evidence, that she has a wiener. They're doing videos of her going downstairs and like a little package jumping around, her dancing on Ellen with some meat, and Barack Obama is about that life.
Wild. All I've seen is that that dude that Tucker Carlson interviewed.
You're just a guy who's in town for the night, and it sounds like you're looking to party.
Yeah. Pulled up in a bar outside, and there's this guy that's introduced to me as Barack Obama. I had given Barack $250 to pay for coke. I start putting a line on a CD tray to snort, and next thing I know, he's got a little pipe, and he's smoking. So I just started rubbing my hand along his thigh to see where it was going, and it went the direction I had intended it to go.
Even though you had sex with him twice, you did cocaine with him, watched him smoke crack twice. You had no idea who he was.
I had no idea who he was.
Let me just ask the obvious question. What was Obama like on crack? Is it your sense that that's who Obama is, just transactional, or that he's bisexual, or like, what is this?
It definitely wasn't Barack's first time, and I would almost be willing to bet you it wasn't as long.
The guy's running for president, and credible information comes out that he's smoking crack and having sex with dudes. That seems like a story.
Well, it would be a story if the media really cared about telling people the truth.
Yeah, this week on X, it has just been popping off, the conspiracies, dude. Apparently, there's like this letter that Barack Obama wrote, one of his ex-girlfriends, saying, I dream about having sex with men every day or something like that.
Okay, I think I'm saying something about that.
Yeah, which is lit. Good for him, though. Like, I think that's dope. First black president, first gay president, possibly. Actually, probably not, because I really think that... Who was, like, the first president? Is that G-Dub? I think they were super gay back then, though. Like, I think they were really... Because they used to just party and shit. I mean, I think you can get high enough to do gay shit. Like, not even for drugs, but just on drugs. Like, not even be a gay person. I think you can just get high enough to be gay. Not that I have, but I think it could happen. I believe it. If you can get high enough off those, like, remember those synthetics? They called it bath salts. I don't know what it was.
People like zombies.
Yeah, and you can, like, eat a person's face.
Eating face, yeah.
I'm sure you can, eat some meat too, you know?
Yeah, that was a wild time.
Yeah.
Was that, like, 10 years ago or something?
Was it that long ago?
I feel like it was.
Wow. Bath salts, they called it. And then there was, remember that ooey? It was like a synthetic weed. I forget what it was called, though. It was like called K9 or like K...
Yeah, that rings a bell.
Yeah, Special K. Nah, so, no, that's ketamine. But it was like a synthetic weed that had people out there tripping, dude.
Bath salts was 2009 and 10.
Wow.
Yeah, long time ago.
2009 was my first year in college.
Yeah, it was my first year on Twitter. I think that was like one of the first things that really popped off.
Wow, one of the first things that went viral.
In my time anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think I didn't go on Twitter till I was in America, so it might have been the same. I might have been the same year as you. That sounds nuts, but that does sound like something like full dose maybe makes you eat someone's face, and half dose maybe makes you eat their asshole. You know, like I think you can get a little bit gay off of some synthetics maybe, and that maybe what Bathhouse Barry did. Bathhouse Barry is the best nickname.
It is a wild nickname.
Like Sleepy Joe. Okay, whatever. But Bathhouse Barry is so fucking funny.
Do you reckon we'll get to the bottom of it?
Absolutely not.
No, neither.
Nah. It'd be cool. It'd be cool too. But I like to speculate. And I just think, good on him if he is. That's real progressive shit. Like I was saying, like G-Dub, you know, wearing a woman's wig or whatever they were doing back then, those white wigs. And I think they used to just like party with like kegs of beer, like wooden kegs of beer. And just like get lit while they're writing like the Declaration of Independence, you know, like sucking each other off and like, you know, telling their slaves to suck them off and shit like that. That's what I think was going on back then. So I think like being, you know, being like, that might be a prerequisite to being president is just being like, just being a bit gay.
I'm just trying to think of who the other president's been in our lifetime.
Well, we had
obviously Trump,
D. Trizzy, Sleepy Bush. Joe, Bush, both Bushes.
I don't reckon Clinton was.
Clinton for sure.
You reckon?
Like sideways gay, like just like accidentally gay, like
threesomes and stuff.
Yeah, sleep. Definitely in orgies and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he goes out to like kiss a baby and he accidentally kisses someone right on the tip of their dick or something like that, you know?
Just real accidental shit.
Yeah, like real understandable shit. Yeah. Who else has been in our lifetime?
Who was before Clinton? Like, I feel
Bush,
like,
wasn't it? Or was that after?
Like Bush's dad. No, Bush was after Clinton.
It was George W. after Clinton. Was it? Yeah, was it? Was it Bush Senior before? We were young for Clinton, hey. Like, because 9/11 was Bush Junior. W. Bush.
Yeah, it was Bush's dad.
And who was before that?
Ronald Reagan.
Reagan.
And Jimmy Carter before that.
Jimmy Carter's probably before we were born. How many presidents have we seen, like, since we were born? Since, like, 90?
Six?
It's not a lot, is it?
No. Nah.
We've had like six prime ministers in the last 3 years.
Yeah, the turnover's pretty wild here in Australia.
These motherfuckers out here stab each other in the back like routinely.
Yeah. Yeah, there was that like 3 year stretch where we had what, three different prime ministers?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy.
Yeah, big Jules. Shout out to Only High.
Jules and K-Rod got her back.
Yeah.
Playing musical chairs with that shit.
And then what's his name? I think everyone hated him. Tony Abbott?
Tony Abbott and then Turnbull.
And then who's our guy now?
Nah, there was another guy after that. Who was it? Who's our guy now? Oh, this is so bad.
How are we supposed to know, man? At least Americans serve out a full term. You know?
Albanese.
Anthony Albanese. Yeah, big tone. Yeah, he looks like Tintin if he
who was the guy before him though? He was the liberal dude.
I thought it was Big Malk, Big Malksy.
No, there was someone after him. ScoMo, Scott Morrison.
Oh, that's right. Everyone hated that guy. He's the guy that just every time there's like a fire, he goes to Hawaii.
Every time. Yeah, without doubt.
I don't have much else to talk about, man. How's your week been?
Week's been all right, man.
Same old.
Getting close to the weekend, so it's getting better.
Yeah.
Better part of the hour. How about yours?
Dude, I got stitched up on Father's Day. Shout out to all the dads as well.
Shout out for that. Yeah. Is that Father's Day number 2 for you? How'd it go?
Number 2, yeah. I think I got stitched up last year. I think I just, like, basically was forgotten about. No one really cared about me, you know, because because the baby was so small and Rach was so tired. So it was really about Rach. And then this one was like, I'm going to, this is your day, you know, happy Father's Day. What do you want to do? You can sleep in, right? I'm not a sleep in guy. So when Kenny wakes up, I'm awake. Rach is like, stay here, you know, I'll take care of him. So I'm just in bed looking at the ceiling for like an hour, like, well, I'm wide awake. Like, I cannot sleep in. I don't have it in me. So, I mean, that was fine. At least I didn't have to, like, get up, I guess. Mm. But I don't really – I like seeing him in the morning. So
yeah.
It's kind of like, I don't know. I tried to rest. Then we went to Bunnings. She's like, wait, I'm going to take you to Bunnings. You know? We go to Bunnings. Buy, like, you know, it wasn't crazy, $70 worth of shit. Like, on me.
What sort of shit would you get?
Oh, potting mix.
What'd you buy yourself? Potting mix.
I got myself some potting mix, got some veggie seedlings, corn, broccoli, and leek, some fertilizer, you know, nothing too exciting. And then, so I pay for that. We go downstairs, boom, sausage sizzle.
Sausage
sizzle. And I pay for that. And then we get home and we did both do it, 6 hours in the garden. Working like a slave, bro.
What was Kenny doing? Was he just pushing his little lawnmower around or what?
He was just running around. Like the lawn in the dog's area was like mad long, like probably a foot long. Think of a subway. And he loves diving in it, which is cute, but I couldn't let it grow forever, so I had to cut that down. And he went out there and he was mad confused about like where
am I?
Yeah, yep. Why is this not fun anymore? So that was pretty shit. But just that and weeding and planting my new plants and tossing the compost, you know, mixing that up. It's like nothing fun, man.
Yeah. Well, hopefully when he's a bit older, it gets a bit more fun.
Yeah.
I don't know how, but.
And he took a rest in the middle. So Rach brought him in. So I put him to sleep. Come back out. And, you know, I was drinking Peronis during it, which was nice, you know. It was a nice day. Cold Perla beers.
Weekend, yeah. Wasn't it?
But that's really it.
Comedy, action, or horror? Will this movie win an Oscar? Set design, directing, acting like Tinger costumes. This segment is Clay's Reviews.
Got three this week. I'll go through the first two quickly because you didn't watch them, but there's a new Adam Sandler movie on Netflix called You Are So Not Invited to My Bat Mitzvah. And basically it's just like it's a coming of age film, but it's Jewish, which we don't have a lot of, but there are coming of age films with Jewish people, super bad. But it's not like being a Jew is not like part of the story at all. But this is like the whole thing is, you know, Bat Mitzvah is always Jewish, and it's about this girl and her best friend. They have a falling out. She uninvites her best friend to the Bat Mitzvah and, you know, does some real mean girl shit, and then, you know, comes good in the end. Of course, that's what happens in feel good films. There was bits in it that was funny. There was bits in it that was relatable, like the trying to fit in bits, the trying to impress your crush bits, not being a cool kid, wanting to be a cool kid, being angry at the whole situation and like lashing out, all that. Like anyone that's been a teenager can relate to it, even if you're not anymore, you know. I do think it was probably aimed more at young women than old men like myself. But in saying that, watchable, easy watch, you know, if you're hungover or something, you don't want to watch true crime or something that's really going to fuck you up, you can watch this. And it was, yeah, mad easy on Netflix, 6.5 out of 10, this one.
Okay. Just quickly, I'm looking at the cast. Looks like Sandler's trying to get his kids into the acting game.
That's right. How did I forget? Yeah, his kids were in it, and Rach picked it. She goes, oh, they could literally be his kids. I wonder if they are. And I just... like, I don't know if they've acted in anything before, but I was just like, oh, I doubt it. And then roll credits, it just comes up with four Sandlers. Next one I watched was on Prime. It's got Operation Fortune, Ruse de Guerre, I believe is how you pronounce it. I don't know. I'm not French, but it's a Guy Ritchie film. I love Guy Ritchie. He directed The Gentleman, Snatch. I want to say Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels, but that might not be right. But he's one of my favorites. He does a lot of like these little montage. I don't know if they're called montages, but like these quick clips with big sound effects. So in Snatch, there's a bit where this American guy needs to fly over to the UK, and it's like in quick succession, maybe 1 second clips. It's like a suitcase slamming, the guy drinking a bottle, not a bottle, a glass of whiskey, the plane flying off, and it's all like these big sound effects, like the slam, the like yeah, that. Okay. That's like his kind of signature thing.
I'm coming to London.
And he did that. Bugsy Malone is in this movie, and he's like a sniper. And so, like, there was a scene where he's you know setting up the gun, all that, yeah. So that's like Guy Ritchie's style. That was fun. It had Jason Statham in it, and I think he was supposed to be a little bit more funny than usual. I just don't think he's got funny in him.
Yeah, I've never really seen it in him.
Yeah.
Any movies I've seen.
The girl, I forget her name. She was in Emily the Criminal.
Aubrey Plaza.
She was in it, and she was like playing a version of Aubrey Plaza, but for some reason I really didn't like it in this movie. And usually I like her. I think she's pretty funny. And I was just like, oh, you're doing my head in right now with this shit. No offense, Aubrey. Who else? Hugh Grant. He kind of played a similar character to The Gentleman. He was more Cockney in it than that, you know, that awkward sort of charming guy. Yeah, he was more of a piece of shit slime ball. And then the American guy. Do you have him in front of you?
I'm just looking at Josh Hartnett.
Josh Hartnett. Can you click on him and tell me what he's been in before? Because I know his face. I just don't know what movies he's been in, but he was so funny in this.
40 Days and 40 Nights.
There you go. That's the one. Chicks loved Josh Hartnett, but he played an actor, a Hollywood actor in this, and he was super funny because like they needed him to act, and it, like the pressure was getting to him. It was fucking hilarious. He was good. No, I don't know how relatable a spy movie can really be.
Yeah, it's hard unless you've lived that life.
No, yeah,
never got a sniff of it.
I don't think I've ever spied on any. I've done peeping. I've peeped. There was. Do you remember the? I think it's like called a YMCA now.
Yeah, drove past it on the way here.
Yeah. So there's like a little hallway up the front of the building where if you go down it, there's a creche, or there used to be a creche.
Yeah.
And on the other side of, like, it's just windows that face the front of the building. And the front, when I say the front, I mean that side street. And then on the other side of the hallway is a wall. And on the back of that wall is the toilets and change rooms. And up the top of the wall, they've got bricks that are, like, layered where there's one missing and then there's one missing.
The old hit and miss.
Yeah, 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 they got the hit and miss, the chessboard.
Yeah.
And on that wall, there is also a ledge for no apparent reason. Like, and when I was a kid, I could go up and stand on that ledge and look through the hit and miss bricks into the change room. And I caught a glimpse of a couple of titties in my day.
Just snitching on yourself for the whole world here.
Well, it's the statute of limitations, and I don't go there anymore. Yeah. I don't go there now. I'm talking like this is when my mum was.
That's right. She used to.
Yeah, my mum was a teacher there. A aerobics instructor, and I wasn't old enough to stay home by myself. This is what the type of age we're talking. I'm like 6, 7 years old, doing peeping Tom, peeping Clay. So
as long as you're not 6'7" doing.
Yeah, yeah. Peeps. Yeah. So that was my, that's pretty much my level of spying. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't think I ever had a crack at it.
You ever play like laser tag?
Loved it.
Yeah.
Not as fun as paintball, but just the competitive aspect of it. It was good fun back in the day. Yeah, laser tag was, it was fun, but yeah, as I was saying, not as good as paintball.
Yeah, I used to creep around a little bit in laser tag and spy. I've never done paintball though.
Never?
Never.
Would you do it?
I think so. Yeah, I think it'd be fun.
I feel sore thinking about it. Like
just, they're real stingers?
Oh, not even that. Just like all the running and all the physical activity. It was so easy as like a teenager and a kid. But yeah, I'd love to do it, but yeah, it's just hard to get a whole crew together these days.
I've always felt too big for it. I've always felt like I'm just a target.
100%, dude.
Yeah. So, but I've got to do it. I've got to, it's like, I'd prefer to do that before I die instead of like bungee jumping, you know?
Oh, 100%.
That's not my life. That's really not my vibe, is fake suicide, you know? That sucks.
How about skydiving? Would you do that?
Nah. I don't even like being on a plane.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat.
Like, I hate being on a plane, but like not enough to jump out of it, you know?
Yeah, I feel you.
That's why people shit, for sure.
Let's organize some paintball sometime.
All right.
Now that we're talking about it, I'm keen.
Okay.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, let's do it. Last movie. This one we both watched.
Did you give that last one a rating or not?
No. So Operation Fortune, Ruse de Guerre, 6 out of 10 on Prime.
Okay.
But you know, if you want to not think about anything, have a couple cheap laughs, fair bit of action. You know, Bugsy Malone's good. I just like a spy movie too. It was like, it's definitely watchable. It's just not like, you know, it's not a great movie. 6 out of 10.
That's fair.
Yeah. Okay. The movie we watched this week, Untold, Johnny Football.
Is this the first Untold that you've seen? There's a few of them, isn't there?
No, yeah, there's a bunch. No, it's not. I think it's the fourth, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. I definitely want to watch Malice in the Palace. And I definitely want to watch Swamp Kings.
What's Swamp Kings about?
Tim Tebow and the Florida football team.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, back to Johnny Football.
Yeah. So, Johnny Manziel is this, not even a prodigy in football. He's an unknown prospect in high school. He's a killer though. Like he gets, I think in his freshman year of high school, or maybe it's his sophomore year of high school, he gets a starting position in his high school football team. And like first snap, runs through the middle for a touchdown. And they're just like, who is this kid? He wasn't highly recruited into college and got recruited to Texas A&M, which, you know, has been like a football school, but not like a football powerhouse. And he went there the year they moved from the Big Ten to the SEC, which is major. Like SEC football is, that is college football. So moving from the Big Ten to the SEC, like you should be getting smacked every game. And he went there as a freshman and just had an immediate impact. Not only did he have an immediate impact, he won the Heisman Trophy, which is like the MVP of college football. And he won it as a freshman. He's the only freshman to ever do that still.
Ever, okay.
Yeah. Like,
solid. So insane. Just like, just with the popularity of this, never been to the States, but when you're just over there watching the news, is there as much coverage for college, like say like a conference like the SEC, as there is for the NFL? Is it close or not? I always hear that it's just crazily popular over there.
It's crazy. In terms of coverage, for SEC football, like they're definitely TV game. Like Division One football, there'd be less football teams and basketball teams, but still hundreds.
Okay.
So I think there's about 300 and something basketball teams. I'd say there's probably 200 and something football teams. And you've got, because football is so physical, there's, even though you're Division One, you'd be like 1A or 1AA or 1AAA or whatever. There's different divisions so that a small school doesn't end up playing Alabama, because if that happens, like, you're risking lives at that point, because Alabama recruit the biggest and the best. So you've got like real men like getting ready to go to the NFL and kill somebody, where playing against guys that are going to be accountants. Like, yeah. It's not. So they there are levels to Div 1 football. But Texas A&M is that. Even before they went to the SEC, they were still that top tier. Yeah, but I guess this guy just went and started killing it, and he had a motto, which this is where I got the most relatable experience. Win or lose, we booze.
Yeah, I like that.
And my snack for this movie, Peroni. Peroni nice. Red. Yeah. Yeah, win or lose, we booze made me light up. Because I always thought, with all the trouble he got in, he's been arrested a couple times and like he's always drunk and being a bit of a D-bag and stuff. And so I always just thought he was a bit of a cockhead. Even though I do what he does, I just don't get on TV for it. So that's in my world, that makes me less of a cockhead.
It's definitely the money hands as well.
Oh yeah, this?
Yeah.
But I guess like, yeah.
That's like a real like you either hate him or you love him thing.
I hated him.
Yeah.
But like, I didn't know the full story back then. Like, cause I was in college, I was watching him on TV when I was in college. I was like, what a fucking tool, you know? And then now that I know the story, I'm like, well, I probably would have done that shit too. So if you don't know, college athletes are not allowed to get paid in any form. They can't take money. They can't take gifts. You're a slave, right? And a lot of people have had a lot to say about the NCAA making billions of dollars a year and not paying its employees. That's essentially is like the perfect business model. You all right? Mm. These guys are on TV, primetime advertisements, like just ticket sales. You saw the size of those stadiums. They're like AFL stadiums, yeah. Bigger.
And then like the renovation they could afford.
Yeah, because of him, basically.
Because of him, yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and like the level of recruitment, not only for recruiting students to come to your school and pay additional tuition and, you know, growth in that sense, but getting better professors to come and teach at your school. So now you've got this big football program, you've got better professors, so the amount of people that actually want to go to your school grows. So like the amount of money that you're generating in all types of ways, whether it's ticket sales, people going to your school, better professors, jersey sales, concession stand sales, whatever, like you're just generating so much money and you don't get a dollar. You get a full ride scholarship.
Mm. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah. So he gets the opportunity at some point to sign some shit and get paid for it. And then one of his best friends growing up, like, sort of starts managing this and they start making a lot of money. And he said that at one stage he had like $100,000 cash hidden under his mattress. And he started thinking he was like, you know, a bit invincible. And that's when he sort of went off the rails with drugs and alcohol, because he was just partying, doing whatever the fuck he wanted, because that's what you felt like. Keeping in mind, he's what, 19?
19, like being out in clubs with all these celebrities.
Yeah, he's hanging out with LeBron James, James Harden, Drake.
Pretty easy to lose touch of reality.
Yeah.
That's happening in your everyday life.
Yeah. And then, yeah, they were saying he's going to be a lottery pick, so top 10 pick in the NFL draft, and he just slides and slides and slides. And they thought he was going to go, can't remember who got the first pick, but they thought he was going to go to one team. He didn't get picked.
Is it Houston? I think it was in his home state.
It was Houston. And then he was like, oh, I'm going to end up at Dallas. So So they're both home picks. Didn't go to either of them. Kept sliding, end up in Cleveland. Which, I mean, is hell. That is hell for anyone who gets drafted to the NFL. Like, that's pretty much the last team you want to end up on is the Browns. Maybe the Indianapolis Colts at the moment as well. They're pretty bad. But
it kind of seemed like it didn't matter, though, where he went.
Yeah.
And even he recognized that.
Yeah, he said that he probably wasn't built, like, mentally to be an NFL quarterback or specifically a franchise player, like the face of a franchise.
Because he's, like, really undersized too, isn't he? I don't watch much NFL, but...
He's undersized and he's a scrambler.
Are there any other quarterbacks around his height?
Kyler Murray from the Cardinals is shorter than him.
Yeah, okay.
Russell Wilson's undersized. I don't know. There might be one or two more examples, but it's certainly, like, not... Like, usually you want to be tall to see over the defense. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. And this dude was just, yeah, he was just out there getting fucked up, partying and just enjoying it. And he said, I was just a frat boy, but my fraternity was the football team. And that's allowed, you know, but there's just this, because you're so good, you end up with all this pressure. Like, what are you going to be? And it's like, maybe that wasn't what he ever wanted to be, and so that's why it was so hard for him. Like, he just had this talent. And I actually, once the documentary finished, I thought immediately about Ben Simmons, and I was like, maybe he just has a talent and he doesn't want it, man. Like, I started to, like, forgive Ben Simmons after watching this shit.
Yeah, I'm a huge Ben Simmons apologist. every year, man, take him in fantasy. But
I was just thinking, like, yeah, maybe this dude, he's got this God-given talent, but maybe he just likes Dragon Ball Z and fucking bitches or something, you know? Like, he doesn't care about basketball. And it's okay. You don't have to care. You don't have to.
Yeah. I thought it was really good, actually, the documentary. I feel like it's the kind of thing that, like, not all college kids should watch, or, like, college athletes, but yeah. If you got plans of making it to the league, just...
Yeah, because it could make you think, like, oh, well,
do
he...
I really want this?
He went out and partied and was fine, so why can't I, you know?
Yeah. Was he fine, though?
Well, I mean,
game days he rocked up, but...
Yeah.
When it came...
Even one of his coaches was just like, yeah, we had this game, I saw him out. He was fucked up. And I just said, you better play well. And he ended up having, like, one of his best games.
Like, yeah, he was fine at that level. But, I mean, I didn't watch any of his NFL games. But from what I've heard, he stunk it up.
Yeah, no, he wasn't any good. And even when he went to the CFL, I don't think he did any serious damage over there either. But, like, it sounded fun. I wish they kind of went into that a bit more, because it sounded like, he didn't want to be, like, the face of a franchise at that level, and you know, maybe he didn't fully love the game, but then why did he keep playing? Like, why did he go to Canada? Like, maybe it's just a paycheck or whatever. Yeah, he doesn't have any other skills.
Seemed like he was just addicted to the lifestyle, man.
Yeah, man. And I just love the slogan, win or lose, we booze. I want to put it on a t-shirt. I guess it's probably already trademarked. But me and friend of the show, and I hope I'm not throwing you under the bus here, but I'm going to name you, Corey Maynard. We were back in Australia on break from college, on our summer break, winter over here. And we were training with our junior team, Sturt. And it was one of our boys, Jimmy's, birthday after training. We were going out. And Corey and I, we were staying at my mum's house, and we were just saying to each other, like, we loved the game, always did. So we were, like, getting excited for training and, you know, talking about we're going to go fucking, like, smoke these cunts, dude. And we're like, oh, man, like, and then we'll go out for Jimmy's birthday, like, chop it up. Get off choppers. That's what we were saying.
Yeah.
Chop it up, get off choppers. And we did, dude. Because we were, like, obviously we weren't in the team, so we were on, like, the B team that night. So we're playing their starters. Eating, bro. And every time one of us did anything, we're like screaming down the court, chop it up, get off, chop it. And like, yeah, just got absolutely blind that night. But it's like one of the all time nights. It was just so funny. And we still say that to this day, chop it up, get off choppers.
Cause I haven't heard like, off choppers for so long.
Yeah. It was such an iconic moment in probably basketball training and going out history. They talk about that closed scrimmage for the Dream Team. I think this night might have been better than that.
Be cool.
So what were your thoughts on Johnny Football?
So as I was saying, I haven't really watched much NFL. Hadn't really seen many of his highlights, but being on Twitter back then when he was first getting big, like you'd always see his name everywhere. And what am I getting at? Yeah, I kind of thought the same thing you did. Like, I just always thought he was a bit of a fuckwit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it did humanize him. And I was a bit sad for him at first, but towards the end, he was just kind of explaining how he was at peace with it all. And like he didn't really want it. He was fine just leaving that career on the table. He knew he wasn't cut out for it. It didn't seem like he had regrets. Like,
no, and I think like obviously he was undiagnosed bipolar at the time.
Yeah, that too.
So when you having those ups and downs all the time and you don't know why, I guess like alcohol can sort of, well, not save you, but like it can help you escape that.
Yeah.
And so that would have been like probably the beginning of the partying. Like, it doesn't matter if we win or lose. I just want to feel like this because it's steady and it's good.
Yeah, like he just couldn't escape it, could he? Yeah. Like even the days leading up to the combine, just couldn't help himself.
Yeah, like he got sober and like fit and healthy and lean. And then like 24 hours before the combine, he goes on a huge night and he's like doing coke and drinking like.
Wild cowboy.
Yeah. Was there something else? Oh, the name.
Johnny Football.
Dude, how good is that?
I can't think of a better football name.
Maybe
Jimmy Buckets.
Jimmy Buckets is up there. But Johnny Football is just, it just reminds me of like Johnny Drama, Johnny Bravo. Like it's just like a personification of the thing. And yeah, you got Johnny Football like from a young age too. Like they were calling,
high school?
High school. And then it just followed him forever. Because he was just like, yeah, he just had it. He just had that X factor.
It's crazy being like, he was like a rock star at that age.
Yeah.
Like people all around the country. It wasn't just his home state getting behind him.
Yeah, it was the whole country. It was
what they showed in that doco anyway.
It was. I was over there for it. Same as Tim Tebow. Like,
yeah,
just nuts. Same as, I wasn't over there for this, but Zion, I'm sure. Football's way bigger than basketball over there. So like the Tebow was crazy, especially being at like Florida. But yeah, I guess I can relate to Johnny Football a bit. I am Clay McMath comedy, so I am comedy. but what did you give this?
On the spot here, probably I'm giving it a 7. I actually really enjoyed it. It was good length. I think, have I given everything a 7?
I think so, but like, I guess I have too, because I'm giving this a 7. Okay. Because all right. That's, I mean, it's one of those things. It just doesn't have anything in it really that's going to level it up past that. It was shot pretty nicely. There was like these nice shots of, I guess it must have been like present day, and he was sitting on the grass watching a football game. And like it was so crisp, and like it was a beautiful shot, like stuff like that. But like it's just a single shot; it's not going to bump you up a point. It's hard for documentaries to like blow your socks off with the way they shoot it. But the way the story was told was good.
Yeah, just hearkening back, I thought it was pretty sad how him and his like high school best friend don't talk anymore.
Yeah, I did wonder about that. I wonder like if watching that doc, if either of them have watched it, would that make you try to reach out? It didn't seem like either of them harbored bad feelings.
No, it didn't. And it didn't seem like they didn't have like a huge falling out or anything. It was just a business decision and
yeah,
just made things awkward, I guess.
Yeah, so that was really sad.
Because no one was saying like they couldn't be friends anymore. It was just he can't be your manager anymore.
Yeah. It kind of to me felt like it was Johnny's guilt or something, even though it was like he was just manager. But he was taking like a, not a lifeline, but like a 20% cut. Mm. He was just like taking that away from him or something. Maybe like there was like some guilt associated with that because he said he was just like, yeah, I don't think we spoke till that since that day. But I mean, they didn't really explain it. Maybe the other guy was mad and sort of pulled away.
Maybe.
Yeah. But yeah, that kind of shit's sad, man. Because they were high school boys. Like, that wasn't like a college friendship. That was A1 since day one.
Hometown, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, 7 for that one, man.
Oh my God. It's so big. And strong.
Bung Bung Coffee. Big, strong flavor. Competition? I don't think so. Bungbungcoffee.com. Get yours.
I do have 2 emails here.
Let's hear them.
This one's coming in from Tammy. My brother presumably accidentally sent me a picture of his willy. What is the procedure here? I, 26, have seen the pic. He, 24, has seen that I've seen it. Do I pretend it never happened? Do I joke about it to break the ice? Tell him not to worry and that accidents happen? For the record, I've seen it before. Just not like this. Don't know if that makes it any less embarrassing for him though. The just not like this comment is sick as, because that makes me feel like he sent you a big fat erect picture of his cock. And like, why would you send anything else?
That or like when they were kids, they got put in the bath together or something.
Yeah. It's wild that neither of you have said anything. That kind of creeps me out even more.
The longer it takes, the more awkward it gets.
Yeah, I would, if I was you, I'd be like, what the fuck, dude? And to not do that really creeps me out, Tammy.
That was a like second suggestion, wasn't it? Just like make light of the situation. Or are you saying like have a go at him?
Just say something.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta break the ice and say something about it.
It's weird. If he, like, he knows that he sent it to you by accident, hopefully, right? Because he can see, one, I don't know how you accidentally do it because you can see who you're sending it to. So I'm pretty grossed out by your brother, straight up. But even if it was an accident, he can see that he sent it to you. He should be writing immediately, oh my God, what the fuck, I'm so sorry. You know, that was meant for my best friend Richie or whatever.
Or just hit unsend. We got that option these days.
Oh yeah, we do too. Yeah. I've never used it. I don't even know how.
And you just hold down on it, and if the person hasn't seen it yet, you can unsend it.
Wow, that's dope. Yeah, I think it's nuts that neither of you said anything. And I think, yeah, I honestly think, Tammy, that you and your brother want to fuck. And maybe you have already. I don't know. It's so weird that you haven't said anything.
I reckon it was intentional. If he hasn't said anything.
Yeah. I think when you say not like this, I just think you're talking angles. I think he does this all the time. What was the question though? Do I pretend it never happened? Let's say you're not an incestuous weirdo, which I'm pretty sure you are, but I would say something, because even if he's got like this crazy shame about him, right? And he's just like, I don't know what to say. I just can't say anything. He's probably there like, why the fuck isn't this bitch saying something? You know? Like, you gotta address it. You gotta, like, I wouldn't shame him. I would treat it as an accident and just be like, oh, who's the lucky guy that missed out on this or something, you know?
Yeah.
Something goofy. And then be done with it. But to not say anything is like, it's got this weird, like, it's hard for me to articulate, but it's got a weird undertone for me. Like, it really feels like you kind of enjoy it.
Someone has to say something or they might never speak again.
Yeah. Or send them a picture of your clam. All right, this one's from Sarah. Two ladies this week. Son asked me to kiss his penis and I don't know what to do.
Who are these people?
Dude, I don't know, man. Today I discovered that my son has a rash on his penis. Him being a naive 7-year-old asked me to kiss it to make it better. Before I go on, kissing something to make it better, I think that ends at 3, maybe 4 years old. A 7-year-old, if he gets a boo-boo on his finger, if he says, kiss it to make it better, I'm like, what the fuck's wrong with you? You know?
Yeah.
Okay. I said, we'll talk about it later and called the doctor to see why he had the rash. How do I handle this? That doesn't sound real. You need to go to a doctor. You don't just call them and they're just like, yeah, that's... like
a MediHealth bloody conference.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't know about this.
How do I handle this situation? Do I just explain to him that it's an area that would be inappropriate for me to touch? Or am I just making the situation that's not weird seem like it's weird? I've never been in a situation like this, so I don't know how to handle this. Bung, bung. I would definitely question your ability to be a parent. Why is your 7-year-old asking for you to kiss his boo-boos? He's 7. That's hell old, man. Like, rub some dirt on it, you know? Walk it off. Kiss a boo-boo. That is literally, like, my kid's almost too old for that.
Yeah, just go watch your favorite cartoon and forget about it.
Yeah, that's nuts. So figure that out. 2, I think 7 years old, not only are you not kissing boo-boos, but you know what private parts are.
Mm. Yep.
You're doing something wrong, Sarah. You are doing it wrong. You got to go to parenting class or something. I don't know. Start over. You can't. Your kid needs to know that. That's wild. You need to immediately turn off the podcast right now and go and talk to your kid and use anatomy books or whatever and just point to stuff and say, don't talk about this with anyone. Don't touch it on anyone. Don't show yours to anyone. Don't ask to see anyone else's. This is inappropriate. It's nuts. It is insane for your kid not to know that. And I feel, you know, I hope no one from the Department of Child Services is listening, because I think they're coming for your kid, because I think it's wild. I think something's happened to him. He's stuck in arrested development. He thinks he is 16 months old.
Wonder what happens with kids like that at school. Like, if they fall over and graze their knee, do they expect, like, the teacher there to kiss it better?
Yeah.
Like, imagine if this happened at school.
Yeah, what if he's at school, right? He's got a rash on his cock. He's scratching and scratching, right? He's like a fucking sick dog in the back of class. He's got, like, dandruff falling out of the bottom of his shorts. He's scratching so hard. And the teacher kicks him out. Teacher's got no problem kicking out an itchy kid. He kicks kid out. Kid goes and sees a school nurse. And he's like, ah, oh, my winky. The nurse is like, aren't you in grade 4? Why are you calling it a winky, right? And he's like, it's itchy. It's so itchy. It burns. She looks at it and she's like, Jesus, I've never seen anything like this before. It's disgusting. It's the worst cock I've ever seen. And the kid goes, can you kiss it better? Nurse is calling the cops.
Yeah.
Nurse is like, there's something wrong at this kid's house. looks like he put his dick in a pot of hot oil or something. And then he asked me to kiss it.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that. Is that a nurse's job in jeopardy? Like, you can't just get a kid to take his thing out of school these days, can you?
Yeah, let me see it would be a nuts thing for her to say.
Let me see it.
Yeah. Yeah, she's got... What do you do, though? Like, is it not in your job description to, like...
I think unless you're changing diapers, I don't think you can.
Don't you got to take, like, a Hippocratic oath to, like, make...
Are there actual nurses at schools? Like,
I was just thinking of The Simpsons, really, when I thought...
Yeah, because in primary school, we didn't have a nurse.
No, neither. But, like, whenever like, I hear of, like, school nurses in, like, America, I always... Did you have a sick room?
We had a sick room, but it was just, like, a teacher at a first aid certificate or something.
Mm.
There wasn't always someone there. It was just, like an office admin person that was just... ready in case.
Yeah,
in case
just putting band-aids on kids with itchy cocks. But like not even on their cocks, just like...
Just giving it to them to put on their own cocks.
Yeah, or just like putting it on their arm and like being like, oh, that's a scratch and sniff one. Like smell that while I call your mom and the police. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's nuts that there's something wrong with your kid. I think your kid is chibarded. I don't think... 7 years old is old, bro, for that.
It's way too old for that.
When I was 7, man. Yeah, I knew. Dude, I knew in reception. I remember in reception, there was this girl, first name only, Claire. Had the biggest crush on her. And I knew what I should and should not be doing. You know? I would never just be like, you make me warm down here. Let's look at it together. Like, I'll just be like, I'll just be mean to her like you do when you got a crush when you're a kid.
That's how you get it done.
Yeah. And then then there was this kid, Ben, that definitely had a crush on me as well. And he was inappropriate. That motherfucker kissed me, bro. He kissed me.
What did you do?
I don't really...
Just blank that out?
I just froze. You know how they say you freeze? Like, you know, when the bad thing happens? That's
the bad thing.
I think that's one of the words you're definitely not supposed to say on podcasts.
Yeah.
I froze and I had my eyes open and he kissed me on the mouth. In reception, bro. So I was 5 years old and I remember this. You know how they make you take the, remember lunch monitors?
No.
Well, there's a big lunch box and you put lunch bag with cash in the box and then you had to take the box. There's usually monitors that would take the box to canteen.
Yeah.
And me and him were the lunch monitors that day. And on the way back, he's like, oh, let's stop for a second. And this motherfucker kissed me and I stood there and I took it and then I started to run and I tripped over and I skinned my knees on the freaking asphalt and cried. I don't know if I was crying from pain or from molestation.
Crazy, dude.
Dude, I'll never forget looking at my knees and there was like gravel inside my knees, bro.
Be crazy if you still had a scar from that day.
That'd be nuts. That'd be so bad, dude.
Yeah. I'm just glad you made it through, man.
I did. Imagine if I had gravel on my knees for it really went wrong. But yeah, Sarah, I think you got to go to church or something. Read a fucking book or something. Sort it out. I don't know. That's heavy. I'm sorry to hear that. Your kid's got problems, bro. ClaimingMathComedy.com. Welcome to the party on everything. You know what it is. Tell a friend to tell a friend. You can win free Welcome to the Party merch if you tell a friend and share with us. Show us how you've told them, whether it's a screenshot of a text, a video of you around the dinner table with your family, or you simply just have shared the show by clicking the share button. Click that share button, tell a friend, tell a friend. Give us a 5-star review on whatever you listen to us on. We love you guys. Don't forget to love yourselves. And as always, bung bung.